We began our journey through the book of Isaiah this Lent by looking at a selection of passages from the first couple chapters in the book of Isaiah, chapters 1 through 11. And what we saw there was the themes established of judgment and hope. Judgment and hope. Judgment leading to hope. And we discussed there that in-between time of how do you get from one to the other, judgment to hope. And we saw that the only way, the only possible way to get from God's righteous judgment to the place of hope was to be purified, to be washed by God himself. And through the one who he was to send, the one who was to be born, Prince over all the world. And then we saw that judgment close up in an image in chapter 24. An image, if you remember, of a desolate city. A desolate city I had you drive through, maybe a city that you even know of that has experienced God's judgment. The judgment so severe on sin, but yet the judgment so righteous on sin. But Isaiah did not leave us there. We went from there, from those judgments cast in those chapters from 12 to 39 in Isaiah, to the hope of the return from exile, the hope that God was working out all things together for those who loved him. Isaiah had foretold it so long before, and Isaiah was right that the people would return, and they did return from exile in order to bring about the Christ. And then we saw that Christ, we saw that Son born, that Prince of the world, that King of kings, humble as the suffering servant in chapter 53, and also trustworthy. We saw in the work of that suffering servant, stricken, smitten, afflicted, as we have been singing over and over again, that he was trustworthy, that he did what he said he was going to do. And all of that culminates in this ultimate hope. Remember, judgment leading to hope, in this ultimate hope that Isaiah wants to leave you with whenever you finish his prophecy. After you've been through the 66 chapters, you should be left, if you are faithful, with a certain and sure hope. A kind of hope that you can rest assured that no matter what sin you commit in your life, no matter what suffering comes in your life, that you can have forgiveness, that you can have comfort, that you can have life and salvation that the Lord offers you. And he places that hope, he locates that hope for us today in this new heavens and new earth. Now you can also read around chapter 66, if you read the last six or so chapters, or you can even start back at 53 and keep reading, you're going to see the new heavens and new earth, this new place that God is going to bring over and over again. In chapter 66, Isaiah does a brilliant job, however, bringing all these things together to that point. First, we see in verses 1 and 2, thus says the Lord, heaven is my throne and earth my footstool. Where is the house that you will build me? And where is my place of rest? For all those things my hand has made, all those things exist, says the Lord. But on this one I will look. On him who is poor and of a contrite spirit, who trembles at my word. Heaven is my throne, says the Lord. That takes us back to chapter 40. He is sovereign. He is in complete control. He is working in time, in history, to make things right for his people. Earth is simply, he says, my footstool. It's just a place for me to rest my feet. He knows everything that's going on there, and he can handle it all. Remember, like when he called the people of the earth grasshoppers in chapter 40. They're just the little grasshoppers running under his feet. That is how control the Lord is in. But yet he says, I will look on the one who is of a poor and contrite spirit. He was going to repeat this. Who trembles at my word. That's Isaiah language for those who have faith. Those who are of a poor and contrite spirit, who humble himself before them, who pay attention to the word he sends to his people on earth. He will be with them. He will look at them. He wants to rest with them. He wants to bring them into his heaven where he has his heavenly throne. And he has the ability to accomplish this salvation. Yet as we continue reading through chapter 66, we also get these little tidbits that bring us back to chapter 24. That is very important to remember. The Lord's judgment on the earth is still there when Isaiah is talking about the end of the world. And in fact, it is very present when he's talking about Christ coming again to judge the world. For we will see on that last day when Jesus comes to establish the new heavens and the earth, we will see also the judgment of the wicked. He says, I will look on the one who has a poor and contrite spirit. But he also goes on in the following verses to describe those who have turned against him. We'll look at verses 4 and 5. So will I choose their delusions and bring their fears on them? Because when I called, no one answered. When I spoke, they did not hear. They did not tremble at his word. They did evil before my eyes and chose that in which I do not delight. Hear the word of the Lord, you who tremble at his word, your brethren who hated you, who cast you out for my name's sake, said, let the Lord be glorified that we may see your joy, but they shall be ashamed. Notice that the wicked people that the Lord describes here are hypocrites. They're the brothers of the ones who tremble at the word. And they say things with their tongues that sound really nice. Let the Lord be glorified that we may see your joy. But they did not delight in his word, and they did not hear his word, and they did not pay attention when he sent it. They are hypocrites. They are those who with their mouths confess the right thing, but in their hearts did not believe at all. They live their lives to their own glory and not to God's. And so the message for us there, to kind of bring us back to 24, is that throughout the Christian life, preparing for the new heavens and the new earth, we always need this message. Isaiah doesn't want to leave you with this kind of blind hope that no matter what you do, you're going to get into heaven no matter what. He leaves you with the message still of judgment and hope, yes, hope prevailing, but also judgment still an option. So the message is to continue to repent. And as we come into this Holy Week, as we continue through this Lenten season up until Easter, that's always good to remember. That we should always be looking in our hearts, looking at our sins, confessing them, repenting, and turning to live lives toward God, not of hypocrisy, but of true faith. And that brings us to the ultimate hope. For those who have true faith, those who do tremble at his word, the Lord promises that he will accomplish your salvation. He will bring you to the new heavens and the new earth. And the way he describes the new heavens and the new earth, especially in chapter 66, is this beautiful image of Jerusalem as mother. When he's speaking of Jerusalem or Zion, the capital city, if you will, of the new earth, the holy city, where Christ will reign as king. Zion, the place where God says, I dwell. Heaven is my footstool. Heaven is my throne. He speaks as this city, as your mother. First, he says that that mother, Jerusalem, delivered a male child in verse 7. Who else do you think that male child is that came out of Israel, that came out of the city of the Judeans, than Christ himself? He is Israel made one, as another prophet would say. And then he goes on to ask, that now that this child has been born, now that Zion has become one to deliver children, so to speak, shall I bring to the time of birth, this is verse 9, and not cause delivery? Shall I who cause delivery shut up the womb, says your God? It is as what Paul says in Philippians 1, he who begins a good work in you will bring it to completion. Isaiah is saying that about the church. The church, Jerusalem, this city, this mother, has started to bear children. And she's going to continue to bear children. And those children are you. Those children are God's children. And Jerusalem is the place of God's people. It is the paradigmatic location of God's church. And from that place, Christians are born. Paul picks up on this in Ephesians 5 when he says Christ is the bridegroom of his bride, the church. And when Christ and his church get together, they produce children by the waters of holy baptism. Because what is baptism but a new birth? What are we but reborn Christians? The term born again Christians has been kind of misused in the past century. But in a sense, that is exactly what we are. Christians who, according to John 3, by water and the Spirit, are born again. And we have a mother, and she is Jerusalem. And what does Isaiah say about your mother and you? What does he say about God's church and ultimately his new heavens and his new earth and you? Verse 10 through 13, rejoice with Jerusalem and be glad with her, all you who love her. Rejoice for joy with her, all you who mourn for her, that you may feed and be satisfied with the consolation of her bosom, that you may drink deeply and be delighted with the abundance of her glory. For thus says the Lord, behold, I will extend peace to her like a river, and the glory of the Gentiles like a flowing stream. Then you shall feed on her sides, you shall be carried and dandled on her knees. As one whom his mother comforts, so I will comfort you, and you shall be comforted in Jerusalem. Dear saints, as children of the church, as children of God, as the baptized, you have this Jerusalem. Jerusalem, my happy home, Jerusalem, the golden, as your mother. Both now, in a not yet way, and in eternity, too. For now, Jerusalem comes to you in this place, in time, in God's word and his sacrament, to feed you, that you may drink deeply of the wine offered at this altar, that you may feed deeply and be satisfied from Jesus' body offered here, that you may feed on the pastures of his word, and you may be in all your sin, in all your suffering, in all your death, in all your grief, and in all your sorrow, comforted, comforted. Notice how many times Isaiah says it, comfort from your mother. And then, when Christ does come to bring his bride home, we're mixing metaphors a bit, that's fine, that's what the Bible does. When Christ comes to bring his bride home, you will be in that Jerusalem. You will be at that Mount Zion. You will see Christ on his throne, reigning, and you will have that comfort that you get only in a not yet way now, in an eternal way then. A comfort that never ends. No more sorrow, no more grief, no more suffering, no more sleepless nights. It will all be perfect, because you will be home with your mother and with your father. And that is the place of ultimate hope. That's where Isaiah wants to send you with his prophecy. And one more final thing that we can see here. It takes us back to that chapter 53, that the Lord is trustworthy to make this happen. That those who tremble at his word, whether they are Jew or Gentile, Isaiah is also clear here that the Lord is going to go gather up all the faithful Gentiles as well. That he will bring them home. From verse 18, it shall be that I will gather all nations and tongues, and they shall come and see my glory. From verse 20, then they shall bring all your brethren for an offering to the Lord out of all nations, on horses and in chariots and in litters, on mules and on camels, to my holy mountain Jerusalem, says the Lord. And from verses 22 and 23, for as the new heavens and the new earth, which I will make, shall remain before me, says the Lord, so shall your descendants and your name remain, and it shall come to pass that from one new moon to another and from one Sabbath to another, all flesh shall come to worship before me, says the Lord. Notice the verbs there. The Lord is the one who comes to find you. He is the one who sends his angels to bring you home to Jerusalem. He is the one who causes your name to remain into eternity, written into the book of life. Just as sure as he will establish the new heavens and the new earth, surely will he write your name there, and he will cause it to go forever and forever. From one new moon to the next, to the next, to the next, from one Sabbath to the next, to the next, to the next. You will dwell there forever with him, and he will cause it. He will establish it, just as sure as he has established his heavens, his earth, your salvation. And in that, dear saints, you can have certain comfort and everlasting hope. To him be all the honor and glory now and forever. Amen.